So let's get going if everybody's ready. Excellent. Hi, everyone, and welcome to today's webinar hosted by MyDAM Services. MyDAM Services, efficiency through technology, scalability through people. MyDAM Services will continue to bring you fresh content and keep you updated on the current state of DAM, as well as what we expect in the future. But in today's session, we're going to be discussing how digital asset management acquisitions can affect users, and we'll explore both the benefits and potential drawbacks. Fascinating topic for sure, and I'm looking forward to today's discussion. But before we get started, let's hear from the two amazing panelists that are joining us today. Ladies first, Kristen Burns. You don't mind just tell us a little bit about yourself, Kristen? It'd be great.
Sure. Hi, everyone. So my name is Kristen Burns. I'm located in New York, and I'm working with ThoughtWorks, which is a technology consultancy. But I've been a DAM professional for a very long time, since before we called it that. I've been working in digital asset management and previously in photo editing and photography. So I bring that background to it. Worked at large places, small places, technology. Has been mostly the realm I'm in, but also media. So, well, hi, everyone.
That's great. Thank you. And thanks for being here. Ralph.
I'm Ralph Windsor. I've been doing DAM for 27 years. It always seems like I should have like man and boy after I say that. I'm project director of Daydream with DAM Consultancy. I'm also, and I think this is how most people probably know me, I'm editor of DAM News, which is sort of industry journal about the digital asset management market. And I write about DAM and, get involved in various DAM sort of initiatives, topics, and so on and so forth.
That's great. And thank you, Ralph, for being here. And co-founder, Henrik de Geer.
Thanks, Frank. Yeah, my name is Henrik de Geer. You may know me as the author of Another DAM Blog, the host of Another DAM Podcast, amongst many others, and a few books. And yes, I'm also the co-founder of MyDAM Services and Another DAM Consultancy. So I'm looking forward to the conversation today. Thank you.
Thanks, Henrik. My name is Frank DiCarlo. I'll be moderating today, and I'm also part of the club of being involved in DAM before it was coined, digital asset management. Started out in a prepress house and brought a portfolio at the time to streamline search for digital assets that were being scanned and needing to be worked on every week. And that led me to getting involved in one of the first SaaS models. So I've been doing it for quite a while myself. But today, we're going to be doing some questions with this amazing panel. We have some prepared questions, but we'll also leave time at the end to answer any questions from the people who are attending the event live today. So for those of you here, please feel free at any time to click the Q&A button, enter your question, and we'll do our best to get to everybody. So let's get started. I'm going to throw out the first question, and that will be, are vendor acquisitions, vendor consolidations, and vendors buying up competitors popular in the current DAM market? And in no particular order.
I don't mind taking the first shot at that and putting my head above the parapet. I think the current round of acquisitions that's going on in DAM, I've written about this recently, you can kind of divide it into three segments. You have acquisitions where there's a vendor being given some money by like a venture capitalist or a search fund or something like that. That sort of acquisition, I think it's probably a good thing. It's got to happen. You can't grow software businesses by sweat equity, as they call it, alone. So, I don't really have a problem with that sort of things. The second is consolidation, where I think I've referred to these as jigsaw piece deals, where you have a vendor will be bought up by somebody who sells a suite for the DAM element that they provide. There's a few, we're not going to mention names of firms here, but I think everybody's probably knows the sort of deals that I've been talking about. Those are okay. I can see issues with them, but I can also see some potential synergies and some interesting things that might result out of it. I think the third aspect of this is where you've got a vendor that has some money, which they may have got from the original venture capital firm, or they may have got it just on under their own steam, who then decide they need to delete some of the competition, usually because they can't gain market traction in a particular region or a particular vertical. That sort of acquisition, no, I don't think that is good for the market at all. I think that stifles innovation, causes lots of other issues for the current users of both the sumer who's acquiring the platform and also the firm being acquired. So yeah, I think that's how I would break this down. It may be that there are other more nuanced variations on those themes, but I think that's how things have played out currently.
And I'll say on the people who are using the DAM side, when we see these acquisitions, sometimes it's a way for, say, the larger one or the one who's acquiring to bring in new technology that's been done through the innovation of a smaller firm, where I wouldn't necessarily know about that smaller firm or have a way to tie that into the platforms we're already using. So bringing in that new innovation is important and helpful. But a lot of times we're not learning much about that original company, original innovator. So I think we're losing something there. But getting those additional features, I think, is where the consumer side is benefiting from these. At the same time, you know, it would be great to have more, I think, more competition in the field as opposed to more consolidation.
And to that point, there are over 440 vendors in the space of digital asset management, which should be plenty if you think about it. However,
what is up to now?
Yeah, it keeps on growing every year, every month. There's a few new Me Too's or it's like, oh, I have a DAM too. Look,
they're all emailing us.
Yes, of course.
We'll have another webinar. What constitutes being called legitimate digital asset management solution? Mm-hmm.
So there's plenty of room for consolidation because, you know, just like in the early days of the PC world, right, before Windows compatible, there were like 600 different vendors that called themselves PC vendors and didn't have any, interoperable software, right? And then eventually we came down to two or three like today. Will that happen in the DAM market? Probably not anytime soon with 400 and change. There still needs to be a lot of standardization, and that the market seems to be kind of slowly moving towards that with some efforts. But realistically speaking, we'll still see more acquisitions. We're still going to see some consolidations and others buying up their competitors. There's whether they're big or small, right? Whether it's a feature set that they need or a DAM that they need for the sake of argument, where sometimes it's missing in their checkbox or they actually need a DAM for functional purposes. And we'll continue seeing that, in my opinion.
Anything anybody wanted to add on that? Okay. Kristen started on this, but in the DAM user perspective, how do DAM acquisitions affect the product that you use?
So I'll finish it. So I think that part of it is that you're continually improving. My company is big on digital transformation for our clients, but also just within the firm too. So if you're thinking of yourself as an in-house agency, you're trying to make the experience better for your users. Every time there's an acquisition, that means that there's additional features in the DAM that you currently have or you're looking to implement. I think that that's a win for the person who is running the DAM or who's trying to get user adoption. So sometimes those acquisitions can mean that without moving to a new platform, you're able to show an additional feature.
I just on this point of, I actually question how much where one vendor acquires the business of another, what happens to the innovation of the acquired firm? It's an interesting point with this, because there's a particular example of a much larger vendor, again, with I've been advised to
not mention any names,
not say any names, because Frank and Henry can't afford the legal bill that I may cost them. But I've seen a few scenarios where it's the acquired company that effectively becomes the primary platform, and all of the staff and personnel from the suitor get sort of shuffled off one way or another. But I think one of the more common ones in some of the things I'm seeing, some of the acquisitions I'm seeing now, is where it's basically, right, yeah, you've got those customers, so we can put that under our column of customers. And, you know, if you're big in Europe or you're big in the USA, we can say, okay, yeah, we've got these X hundred extra customers in this region. And then that other technology that you've been working on for 15, 20 years, well, let's just forget that existed. And we'll basically just milk their customers for the revenue that they can get, especially with the SaaS stuff and the support contracts these days. I think this is one of the other issues with it. And if you're a customer in one of those dams, it's not good news, because you're now looking at a dam that you may have either rejected, you didn't know anything about, you didn't think it was a good fit, or you just didn't even know it was there. Now you're potentially either being forced to use it, or via an enforced migration, or the people who own it are not going to invest into the dam that you originally selected. So yeah, it's a cuts both ways situation with this, I think.
Right. And I'll just add, just based on what Ralph just said, that I do have caveats on this. And one of them is that if you're used to a smaller firm and you've had that customer service, that might go by the wayside if you're absorbed into a larger company. And that's for both the technologists and the employees of that smaller one, as well as the end customer.
Yeah. Yeah. It tends to differ, like, on who's it, the actual acquirer. Is it a financial institution, which, customer service might not be the top agenda. And sometimes it is if they pay for it. And then sometimes it is, a larger firm that is customer based, but that's not necessarily the case always. And it's not necessarily based on size, but often it is, because, you know, more people to shuffle around and they're not sure what the priorities are, or not everybody knows what the priorities are, including the users of the system that's been acquired for the sake of argument, or the new tool or the existing tool of the larger, if you're using the tool of the existing entity that acquired a new feature. In an optimal world, you get the benefits eventually in the coming months, year, whatever that roadmap might look like. If their intent is only to kill off their competitor, then, those features might not ever come. And worst case scenario, on the opposite part of the spectrum, is features get removed or your system gets killed over a period of time, or no longer supported, to Kristen's point, where they're like, we're sunsetting it. So you have N years to get off of it. And then in N years, we'll turn it off. So go shop now. Or we have this nice new suite for you that you're more than welcome to acquire now. And we'll change it when your contract ends.
It's the winner on the vine strategy. I think even the sunset one, it's not like, now we're going to give you 6 months, a year to go elsewhere or move to this. It's, we're going to keep taking, keep sending us the checks, but don't expect to get very much back, basically.
That's often the case. Yep. So it really depends on which part of the equation you're in. And sometimes it's the size, but more it's about the intent and behind what the acquisition is. Is it to buy a feature set, or is it to kill off a competitor, or is it something?
Yeah. I think that this is one of the other things, especially for people who are less experienced in the DAM market, to understand that if you're one vendor acquires another. I mean, it's not like you get this sort of super set of all of these brilliant features from both platforms, and you get this kind of Superman dam that's all of it combined together. What you're going to get is a bundle of compromises and trade-offs. That may work for you, it may not.
Yeah, we wish it was a superset, to your exact point.
Yeah.
Coincidentally, someone's asking, do you think suite building deals delay innovation for the acquired dam?
It depends. Because I mean, it really depends on, is the dam just part of the suite, or is it just another application, right? Because sometimes it's one is acquiring the other to because there's a missing piece, right? Versus I need a new application and it happens to be called dam or something else. So it really depends. Can it delay it? Well, software is not going to be instantaneous as much as we'd love it to be, because someone has to program it and make it all work together as best as possible. And to Ralph's point, there is some concessions made on making them work to one degree or another if and when they are operable together. And that can take safely months to make them work. And if it's done really, really fast, you should heed that warning of there's a reason why it was done really fast. And you'll know really soon why.
Yeah, to Henrik's point about the if you're filling in a piece of the puzzle that you don't have as the acquirer, or it's adding features as opposed to the consolidation and getting rid of competition, then there's the potential, like I had said earlier, about innovation, because a lot of times people are not trying to make a competitive dam with one of the larger firms. They're putting together something that can be acquired. I think that if we look through some of these acquisitions, we can look through some, again, no names, but there have been ones that you can tell are not really being set up to be a one-to-one competitor for a large dam platform, but are in there to be that puzzle piece. And then I'm assuming, and like looking forward, and maybe we can look back on this talk next year and see if those same people or same smaller companies that have been acquired, if some of those people spin off and start working on a new platform or a new innovation, and if this cycle continues, could be similar to like early.com situations where then those people continue to do smaller things to be acquired, and that's where we'll get that innovation.
Great point. Yep. I'm sure there's plenty of smaller players, to your exact point, that are like startup-ish looking like. And they're built to fit and funded for that exact purpose. That large company X is going to acquire them, and because they're a missing piece, and they're going to be toted that direction.
I think there's potential for innovation because of the fact that the dam that's being acquired by the suite vendor potentially has to work with some other stuff that they might not have thought of previously. But it's more nuanced than that, because on the other hand, I mean, maybe the acquiring firm says, right, that other really innovative feature you were working on as part of your R&D, well, we're going to scrap that. That's not a priority for us. We need you to work on this instead. So it's like all this stuff, it's murky. It's not clear cut. There isn't a, yes, this is good or bad in the case of suite acquisitions.
Excellent. We usually wait to answer questions at the end, but this is kind of a streaming topic as far as the suites. Somebody's asking, in the heavy migration to suites like AEM, driven largely by wanting to hook up to Creative Suite, because that's the holy grail, so to speak, and that's important to many people that have in design workflows or creative workflows. And they're remarking that their experience that these integrations aren't very well done. What are your thoughts on that? Before you answer, I have a lot of experience in this because I come from the creative InDesign workflow background, print and the like. There are a few DAMs out there that do have mounted file systems that work extremely well. CI hub as far as a outside third party also works pretty well with a lot of the dam systems that have incorporated them. But I agree. We're going to need more and more of these integrations and more a community of different things that we're working with, online commenting, approval, and all sorts of things to make our dam systems and workflows work efficiently. You guys have any thoughts on that?
Yeah. So this is something I think that's been a pain point every place I've worked, where we're trying to make sure that whatever dam platform we're using works well with the rest of the creative tools. When you're talking about print production, when you're talking about digital production, and really anywhere in between, you want to be collaborative. And I think that that is an area where a lot of these suites could improve. I think a lot of this is like, how do we get rid of email? How do we get rid of all of these other things that take up our time, and how can we make it seamless for our users to connect to the dam and then do their work the same way they would for any other kind of way that they're connecting to their files, whether that's through their servers or desktop or external drives, all these things that people are doing around the fact that they could be connected to the dam. So I think these plugins have to improve. I don't think that anyone has that solution ready yet. And I think that as we learn more about specific vendors, I think that's something we should keep coming back to them with, is that, you know, the same way we're talking about, you know, how Microsoft or whatever it is that had these sort of like industry standard. I haven't seen that completely successfully yet. And I think this is an area to grow.
Great. Getting back to the mention that you had before, Henrik, regarding the 400 plus dams, somebody wants to know, are you including MAMS and VAMS and the like, or are you strictly a listing for digital asset management solutions?
I think it's dam specific. I'm not sure if it's including, I can check if it's including MAMS as well. But for the most part, I think it's just in whether it's light or heavy or on-prem or cloud or whatever. Let me check on that.
Sure.
And we had 100 on the damvendors.com, which is the dam news directory. We had just over 100 vendors, but we're quite demanding in terms of how much we make people answer as the questions. I think, what was it, Captera or one of these others? Was that 200 or so? Maybe that's where your 440 figures come from. I actually think it's probably in the region of about 4,000 or 5,000, if you count anybody who said, yeah, we've got a dam at some point. Every month I find new systems that I've never heard of before coming out of the woodwork, as well as all the better known brand names. No one controls more than about 2 or 3% of the dam market, although they all claim that they do, and they're the big names. They're not. None of them are.
Yeah, almost no one controls 10% of the market. Even as they claim that they do, it's much, much smaller. Even if you have 400 plus, acquisition. Sorry, 400 plus clients or whatever. There are many instances of DAM, whether they're active or not.
I've been told by vendors, and I said when I was involved with a vendor, we'd have clients that dated back from when I first started out coding systems for my bedroom. They're in the customer list. The amount they paid is peanuts, but they were basically sort of some of the first original users of the system that I built. So you felt duty bound to hold on to them. So yeah, lots of those customer numbers have got a fairly sort of low budget, small sort of operations and all that sort of stuff.
Very good. So who benefits and who suffers from dam vendor acquisitions? Well, Kristen likes this one.
I don't like it, but I think we probably agree on this one more than others. Maybe I'm wrong. But I do think that like Ralph is speaking about the ones that say, oh, we are the market leader, we're the one-stop shop, all of that. Whenever there's an acquisition to back that up, I think there's a lot of benefit there. Because when you're coming into, you know, clients who need a dam, a lot of times it's because of either cost savings or time savings that need to happen. And so if they can be positioned as the solution to that, or, you know, instead of a solution, but the solution to that, I think that those types of platforms really do benefit from those acquisitions. And then I would say, you know, just the same way in the rest of the labor market right now, when you have acquisitions and you have people that are suddenly redundant or suddenly, you know, a lot of the system support groups, like when you're talking about legal, you're talking about HR, all these other things, there's really, you know, big human costs if you're having layoffs, if you're having things like that. So I think those are probably the ones that are the most directly affected. And then consumers can go either way. You're either gaining features, losing customer support, you're getting, you know, more for your buck or more for your contract or whatever, or you're suffering because the way that you've had a solution is no longer supported. So those are the main winners and losers for me.
I think, broadly I'd agree with Kristen. I think the main winners from these, it's the people who get a nice crisp check probably some legacy platform that's been an albatross around their neck for years, paying their mortgage and, like, you know, feeding their kids and so on and so forth. Yeah, they do all right out of it. Then probably the customers, they're, in general, I think they're the losers. In an ideal world, the acquisition model I would go with is either the first one where you go to a venture capitalist and you make a case for them giving you money in order to allow you to innovate and grow. I think there's either that one or possibly more the Michael Dell, we acquire our competitors one customer at a time, I think was his quote. Rather than have 400,000, however many vendors it is, to Henry's point, that some of these people disappear and go and do something else rather than producing numerous other generic, homogenous SaaS dams. Because there's just too many different products out there and they all do the same. And that's the problem, I think, really, with dam. That's one of the reasons why there's so little innovation, is everybody just copies each other. And a few of them could do with going away, to be honest, and finding something else to do.
Yeah, we know of plenty of names in the industry that have come and gone and made themselves famous, temporarily speaking, and then left back to, let's just say, better things often, or different things, let's just say. And we don't even have to name the names, and those names come to mind, right? as we nod our heads. and they may be much better things, for the lack of a better term, where they're even more famous, right? But anyways, more importantly, it is back down to the users, right? The users is what actually matters. If the intent is only just to get a check, then usually the users suffer. If the users are being served properly, it was because it was requested, right? That we need a DAM, or we need this feature, or we need that functionality, et cetera, et cetera. And other users were listened from, other organizations were listened to, or companies were listened to, and they said the same thing or very similar words, saying, we really need this. Can you please make it so? Whether it's by acquisition or API or whatever, right? By today's standard, many things are working via API. Many things are still open source in the back end, right? And we don't talk about it, right? And they're, even the largest firms are still using open source, this and that and the other thing. And that's okay. The more functional and the more interoperable they could be, the more they probably should be to one degree or another when it's appropriate. However, you know, it's a matter of someone requesting it and someone paying for it ultimately. And who's ultimately paying for it? Usually the damn customers. And whether they get exactly what they want or 80% of it, that's often the case of what they usually buy into. Whether there's an acquisition during their implementation or afterwards, they'll usually notice some differences. And some vendors do it well and in saying, oh, we're going to sweeten the deal and give you these new features in the near term, right? Whether you like them or not, or whether you need them or not, and more importantly. Or they make it a la carte and they make it appropriate. It's really up to the damn vendors of what they want to serve up. But if you don't serve your users, unless it's a shelf baby and it's sitting in the corner and not being used, someone's going to stop paying for it eventually. And users are definitely going to stop using it if it doesn't serve their needs, unless it's absolutely required for the functionality of the organization.
Good stuff. So how does this affect innovation or the lack thereof? What we're talking about, are we talking as far as artificial intelligence, standardizing DAM, you know, how is this affecting the innovation and the slow innovation at that?
Go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, my take is this is bad for innovation. The consolidation, acquisition, especially, yeah, we're going to take you on because you've got 200 customers in the USA or, you know, in Europe or in Austria or something like that, wherever it is. Yeah, it isn't good for innovation. It's basically, because there's a whole bunch of money that could have been used to build something really interesting. Before this, we were talking about synthetic content just before we got going with the webinar. And we've been talking about it on DAM News. Hardly anybody in DAM is doing anything really with synthetic content, or if they are, they've been very, very quiet about it. All of these other sort of things that are around that could and probably will radically change the market. If you're spending your money buying up customers, you're not doing that. So personally, yeah, I think this is overall, it's bad, the acquisition. Unless, as I said, unless it's where you have a progressive, forward-thinking angel investor, venture capital, who say, right, okay, we can see some potential to get ahead here, and we're going to give you some research and development funds. But whether that happens in real life, I don't know. I haven't seen much evidence of it, I have to say.
I was going to say, I feel like we're in sort of like a turning point where we don't have that DAM standardization yet. We don't have, like we're talking about, under 10% market share for every group we're talking about, and those are the big ones. So on the user end, we don't have the ease of use that comes from consolidation or monopoly or anything once we get down that road. And we also are stifling innovation by having it be a pretty high barrier to entry for getting larger customers, unless you have those integrations we're talking about, those connections to creative suites and other things too. So there's a couple ways it could go at this point, and it really does depend on what happens next. I feel like there's ways where what we're talking about, like what Ralph's talking about, angel investors and things, if we had these sort of development funds for smaller innovation-based companies, and those were, you know, putting together new features and all those things with the idea of selling them to larger ones down the road, that's one potential way it could go too. There could also be, one larger company that decides to focus on DAM as a service and become a market leader in that. And there's a lot of different ways it could go there. But for right now, I feel like the innovation is not necessarily being supported. And then the end user is still at the point where there isn't that standardization yet to make their day-to-day easier.
Yeah, I echo everything that Kristen and Ralph just mentioned. It's not typically it's a lack of innovation that we're seeing. It's either a me too, or it's a lack of innovation, sadly. Unless someone's forking the check, and it's usually the customer or some other body that's saying we have to build this to acquire customers or whatever that looks like. Or there's a lot of demand from the customers themselves, from their existing customer base, saying, I really, really want that feature. But a lot of organizations aren't innovating. We've seen very few innovations, sadly, in the last few years. And it's not because of COVID. COVID actually has accelerated innovation, if you think about it, but not in DAM, sadly.
I think one point I would make with this, and there's, it's the one silver lining, ray of light, whatever your positive metaphor is, the tool vendors who produce products that plugs into DAMs, there is some innovation going on there. So this isn't actual DAM vendors who put together systems, the systems that everybody uses, but the tools that can connect into that. You mentioned CI Hub earlier on. There's a bunch of names on there. There are some other firms who are doing some of these things. I think Merlin One have been doing their no metadata search. That's a rare example of some innovation. So I think with a lot of this, probably what has to happen is that it almost has to be some spinning off of specialisms and more vendors saying, right, okay, there's no point in us producing the same product that everybody else does. What we should do is focus on this particular problem, one slice of the problem, and get really good at it, better than everybody else. And then I think then you would see some traction in innovation. I'm not sure with this current scenario where people are being bought up, I don't know if that will spark that off. I guess what you could say potentially is that some of these vendors who've been bought up, who've then been given the check once they've done their earn-out period, then go off and start up a company and specialize in something. And I reckon that you may well see that. You may well see that occur. So it's possible you could see something positive from that. But yeah, it's the tool vendors where what we've noticed on DAM news, that's where the action seems to be, rather than the people actually making the DAMs themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'll echo what we're talking about, the innovation over COVID time. I think a lot of just getting back to collaboration, this is something that accelerated, remote work by, I guess it's leveled out at like 30% now, where we were at like 5 to 6% pre-pandemic. And so a lot of the solutions that we've been, really advocating for over the years for DAM were played out in the real world. And so there's not a change where we're working less remotely, we're more global than ever, and we're more remote than ever. So I feel like there's even a bigger market for a really good DAM solution, either through acquisition or, through other forms of innovation.
And that might actually propagate some laziness in that sense, because they already have it. And we all know that they have vendor lock-in, because you don't just step into a DAM overnight and have it functioning perfectly with all your assets in one day. It takes, I'm going to say, weeks or months on a really nice time frame. We've heard far worse, of course, in our tenures. But realistically speaking, because they know it takes so long to get in and to get out, they sit on it. And that's why we're not seeing as much innovation. But if they acquire a handful of customers and they want that region to Ralph's point, or these features or that thing, then they'll acquire them. And if they have the funds to do so. Whether it's to erase that competitor, or to acquire that technology and say, yeah, we have that. See?
All good stuff. You mentioned Merlin One, Ralph. Also, M-Rays is doing some interesting work in motion, right? Also, like images. If this is the type of image you're looking for, here's a slew of others that are very similar to that. So they're doing some interesting stuff. Somebody asked this, which I think is a great question. What would we consider a good innovation, or what kind of innovations would we be looking for in DAM in the coming future?
Ask your users.
That's a great answer.
Well, I'm going to counter that actually, because there's asking users, but at the same time, half the reason why we haven't got innovation in DAM is because the vendors and the users sit with each other going, well, what should we do now? I think with this, it's for a start, there's all the problems that you have cataloging assets being one of them. Yeah, what is the biggest obstacle to people taking that DAM? It's the fact that, you can't just plug this thing in. You have to sit down and catalog thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of assets. So innovations that help with that particular problem. Innovations that allow you to take the assets and do other things that you might not have thought of before. I think there's Silicon Publishing, and there's a few of these other sort of template firms of their ilk that allow you to basically take the assets and develop customized collateral, all of these other sort of things which are outside the kind of core search for something, download it, upload it. Those are all the sort of areas I would be looking at for innovation.
Yeah, for me, I feel like the innovation that we're waiting for is the ones that will make DAM end-to-end useful within your teams already that are already established. The ones that you're able to set up in a way that makes the problems that all of us have in our creative teams and our marketing teams and our IT teams help solve those really human-based issues that we all have. We don't want to be replacing people with DAM and these kind of technology solutions. I think it's more, and I'll give a little plug to my blog. I started a blog called Give a DAM on Substack, that it's just called DAM for Humans. And the idea is that, we do have these technology solutions, and what we need to do is find ways that we can get new innovation, that we can integrate them into the rest of our workflows. Things that make, the people that we're hiring like amazing designers, we're hiring amazing programmers and all of this. And then you give them a system that takes so much time out of their day, and it doesn't solve these problems that we have. So I think these kind of innovations that we have in other areas of the tech world, solved, or, at least I feel like I've seen a lot more innovation in things like project management software, other kinds of software like that, that it is helping a lot in these like modern office environments that, what is an office anymore anyway, but these modern, like business environments. And I feel like DAM has a lot of way to go there. So things that make it so that you can integrate it with the rest of your workflow and make sure that the people that you're hiring for their creative skills or their programming skills have more time to spend on that.
Yeah, I think I'm just adding on to that. This integration across the digital asset supply chain. So the concepts we go on about a lot, which is the fact that the DAM is an island, it's not a vacuum. The purpose of the DAM is to connect all of your different sources with all these downstream channels, destinations where it's going to be used. Innovations to help you deal with all that sort of things, which is really one of the only ways in which DAM's changed over the last 10, 20 years, I would say.
That was a quick 45 minutes. It's amazing how fast these things go. So I tried my best to get to the questions and integrate them into our conversation. So anyone that didn't have their questions answered, please feel free to reach out to Henrik and I or anybody on the panel. Henrik, did you want to post the recent poll? Got a lot of questions about synthetic content because we mentioned that. And I have a feeling artificial intelligence, synthetic media, synthetic content. It's probably going to be one of our next webinars. So please, everybody that tuned in today, keep in touch with My Damn Services. You can find us on YouTube, LinkedIn. You can check out our website and all different ways to keep in touch with us. And I can't thank the panelists enough today. Some great insights. Just great conversation. And is there anything else anybody wanted to add before we say goodbye?
Just to say to yourself, Frank, thanks for hosting this brilliant job as usual.
Well, thanks.
Yeah, it was a great experience. And I feel like we've all learned a lot from each other. And I think these kind of conversations really get, I have a million other ideas now because of this conversation.
That's great. That's terrific. We'll be seeing you again for sure. Right, Kristen?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Everybody have a great day. And until next time.
Thank you.
Bye.